and Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And hey, Preds fans, you can tune into Smashville Live tomorrow at 6 p.m. from Bridgestone Arena for the Nash Vegas event. The Nash Vegas event is a ticketed event. For more info, visit NashvillePredators.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Vegas Golden Knights, finally back after an 11-day hiatus over the All-Star break. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. Chase McCabe is joining the show.
Hello.
Appreciate you for joining us.
Right.
We missed you.
Yeah, you know, I went to lunch with Robbie for a little bit, and I, you know, thought I'd pop back in.
Didn't there think about bringing maybe some apps.
Or I
maybe
brought
some
you a
snacks.
Pizza.
Oh, I do appreciate that. That is very fair. Well, David Poile joined Robbie and Rex Road this morning, and I think the biggest topic of conversation, now that the Predators are back from the All-Star break, they're 11 games out from the trade deadline. We are just a month short of the trade deadline. The biggest conversation is going to be, what's the Predators' plan? What does the next 11 games mean for what this franchise wants to do moving forward? Well, David Poile joined Robbie and Rex Road this morning and talked about, for right now, what his plan is ahead of the trade deadline.
Well, during our break, a big deal with Horvat went from Vancouver to the Islanders for a first pick and younger players. And that's a typical trading deadline deal, and it's probably one of the biggest deals that will be made. And as soon as that happens, it's like dominoes. Everybody gets on the phone, and you feel like you're going to miss something if you don't get in there. So to answer your question, yes, there's been a lot more conversations, and I'm assuming the next question will be relating to ourselves. And to me, I'm talking to lots of teams, but I just want to see how we continue to play here. And I mean, we're really on a day-to-day basis. It's as simple as what we just talked about a couple of weeks ago. We win those three games at home. I mean, puts us in a better situation. We win tonight against Vegas. I mean, I think we're starting to get more confidence. So, most of it's going to happen, at or near the deadline. We know that, but I'm sure just like the Islanders in Vancouver, they wanted to get ahead of it. And if something presented itself that was favorable for something we want to do, obviously I would do that. But I can tell you right now, there's nothing imminent with the Predators.
Nothing imminent with the Predators. And honestly, that's kind of what I expected. Yeah. Where they didn't have any big time trades, any big time moves in mind ahead of the trade deadline. Elliot Friedman was on the show last week and he said, what should be the plan? Well, let the players tell you. Let them help you decide over this next stretch of 11 games what you should do with the trade deadline. Kind of expected that to be David Poile's approach, but my question is, so what from now until the next 11 games, what is going to change our minds? What should change David Poile's mind? I think, and Willie and I were talking about this at the break, I think right now it's probably more likely than not the Predators don't do very much at the trade deadline, barring any sort of, crazy outcomes, whether that's the Predators going 0-11 over this next stretch or going undefeated in this next stretch. And those are obviously both very dramatic examples. But barring that, I wouldn't be surprised to see that the Predators don't do very much.
Willie, I use the word soft. I think they could go one way or the other, a soft sell or a soft buy, but not a full-on, like I think St. Louis is about to blow it up, which is probably what they need to do. They've lost five in a row.
Yeah.
They can't stay healthy. They're not out of it by any means, but I think they're at that point where it's like, hey, let's start retooling for the future. But I could see David being at that point where, all right, I'm kind of in the same situation where I'm on the cusp of being a playoff team, just getting into the dance, see what happens, and maybe you make a couple of moves. Because if you remember when they went to the Cup Final, they were on the, they were right there on the cusp. And I think P.A. Parenteau was the move that he made on deadline day. I mean, it was a couple of depth moves. So I could certainly see something like that.
Vern Fiddler.
Yeah, that was another one. Yep. Vern Fiddler. Cody McLeod was in there. So, I mean, you could do something similar to that. But I don't feel like it's going to be swinging the hammer one way or the other on big moves like the blockbusters, that are going to make you go, whoa.
I agree. I think that's the much more likely scenario is that it might be small moves either way. Now, if they were to go in the wrong direction – I think if you're doing your due diligence, you probably are going to get some calls on some guys, and we'll see what the offers are. Mm-hmm. I think let's take – you use St. Louis. I'll use one that's even more obvious in Vancouver. They just changed coaches. They just made the big trade for Horvat. They have pretty much signaled, look, they've been public about it. They've said it. It's not even a signal. They've said we're in rebuild mode.
We're tanking for Tua.
They will listen to anything for that you've got to offer there. They've got a mess of a salary cap situation. My question, though, is how many teams can take on the kind of players that might be available that some of these guys have? If you want to trade a player, let's say he makes $5 or $6 million, we've got to have that cap space to bring that guy in. What is that guy's contract the next 2 or 3 years? And do you have that kind of space available? It's really restricting, I think, the flexibility that a lot of these teams have. So even if you wanted to make big moves, it won't be easy because of what we're just talking about there.
When I sat down with David Poile a couple weeks ago, he said that because he said that the problem that we're faced with is the salary cap's only going to go up about $1 million next year. And we all had come into this year thinking that there was going to be relief, that the escrow account, all that was going to be paid back, and the cap would go up by more. And, you know, we had conversations really with Elliot about that, you know, Gary Bettman was optimistic. Ultimately, that's not going to happen. And so GMs have to get creative. And he used the phrase, fortunately, unfortunately, there are a lot of creative managers in this league that will figure out how to make some moves.
Yes.
But it's just how many are there actually going to be?
And they're not always smart moves.
No.
But they find a way to cram it. We just use Vegas as an example. Yeah. They figure out ways to do stuff, and I'm not even sure –
and you know, you get some
the
guys.
The LTIR is a big thing that they use. They stash people on the injured list, opens up cap space, and you sort of worry about that stuff.
Which
later.
There was a time that I thought that they would probably look at that and change the rule, but then with all this cap movement, they've kind of backed off of it.
Yeah.
Or lack of cap movement. But the other thing, too, that he mentioned, and I know this has been batted around, I think Elliot's brought it up, too, that you could see more three-team trades because you'd have some teams that are tanking that do have more cap room that could take on some contracts of an aging player as opposed to others. So yeah. I think you could see a lot of movement that way.
I think that's how a lot of it would happen. A team that has cap space will take a big contract, but not you don't get anything back. They're taking that contract and something else, another first-round pick or another young player, just to create cap space. That's the only thing you get. That's not ideal to do that, but that might be – what you see some teams do. So getting back to the Predators on this, I agree. That's probably going to be up to these guys, up to this group, to determine their fate. It's not going to be because they make a huge ad at the deadline. I think what you see is what you're going to get.
And it would be the
young players,
like
a Tomasino in the minors, that might be something that would be a pickup that could change the tune a little bit if you get injuries or something like that. To me, one way or the other, Tomasino is going to be in this script somewhere.
You got to bring him up.
Yeah.
At some
point, it's going to happen, I think.
Yeah. And I think the question, too, is, you know, we're going to say, well, let the players help you decide. Well, then what do they need to do? Because it's very obvious to say, oh, well, if they go 11-0, then you just go for it. If they go 0-11, then you just sell, and then you can rebuild for the future. Those are all very obvious situations. What if you go 8-3? What if you go 7-4? What if you go 6-5? And it's incredibly average. Then that's a lot more of a difficult
conundrum. There's a big difference
conundrum.
To me. Yeah, well, 7-6-4, or let's say...
6-5.
Let's just say 6-4-1, right?
Okay.
That would keep you moving
points.
In the right... That would keep moving you in the right direction. I've done a lot of this math, right, of how you would get in. You got to pass two teams to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to end up with around 97, 98 points.
Yep.
You know, you might get in at 95 or 96...
It's pushing 100, I think.
Well, it just depends, right? Yeah. There's a lot of variables there. But to feel good about it, you probably need 98, 99, just to be sure that you get in there. So to do that, you got to win about 19 or 20 out of the final 34, depending on how many of the losses are overtime losses, right? That's really going to get you into the neighborhood. You got to pass two teams. And so... In the next 11 games, you're right. The all probability is they're not going to go 11-0. They're not going to go 0-11, right? So they're probably going to be right in the same situation.
They need to get more than half within, of the 22
right,
points.
They might be 2 points in a playoff spot. They might be 4 points out of a playoff spot. But at the end of the 11 games, you're probably going to be not in it and not out of it. They're probably going to be right where they are. So all that to say, they're very important. And like I said, it's got to be more of what we saw going into the break. Since December 19th, they have tied for the second best record in the West. They're 12-5-2. So they've been trending in the right direction, slowly getting better. Mm-hmm. And really you saw what they can be in those last three games when you started to get the punch from the top guys. So what is the second semester? I call this the second semester, right?
We did our
grades on the players in the first semester. Some were better than others, and the top guys, they didn't grade really well. But they're capable. They showed you what they can do in those last couple of games. You give me good grades for those guys, the guys who are paid to score or paid to carry the team, paid to make the power play one of the better power plays. If they do well, I think the results will take care of themselves.
Yeah, and it's all about points. It's funny
they've underachieved to this point, and they're still not out of it. If they just do, they don't have to be career high. If they're good, then I think they'll play at a better clip.
But is that the goal? Is the goal to get in the playoffs? And I think that's what, when you approach the trade deadline, you have to ask yourself, what's the goal? And if it's to make the playoffs, and you let's say you go,
what's the plan, Willie?
8-3 over the next few games, and you'd say, yeah, we're going to go for it because we right now feel set up in a good position to make the playoffs. If your goal is to make a run in the playoffs, well, that's a completely different conversation.
Well, that's where I think the changes they made in the offseason last year have to show up. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the presence of a Ryan McDonagh that you didn't have last year, the presence of a veteran like Nino Niederreiter that you didn't have last year, a healthy UC Saros, knock on wood, hopefully. I'd love to see what that looks like. I really do believe UC Saros playing at his best in the playoffs would make a huge difference. And he hasn't had that in his career yet. Early in Pecorine's career, he didn't have a great playoff series until his second or third time through. And then all of a sudden you started to see what it could look like if he's playing at that level. That's such a game changer. A goalie can make the difference. But I don't think it's going to come from somebody they trade for. Like we said, even if they, let's say they go 8-3, or let's say it's 7-3-1 in the next 11. I still don't think that means David Poile, okay, now let's go for it. Let's trade our first round pick. Let's bring a veteran in. I don't see that happening,
really. I don't see that either.
I think it's going to be these guys. And like we said, they like what's coming up through the ranks. They ranked well in some of these prospect things. They've held on to assets. And so I think that you're right, though. The ultimate question, it would be a good thing if they got back into the question that everybody was so sore about last year. We want to win in the playoffs.
Right.
It's not about getting into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Getting into the playoffs has been the goal all along. That hasn't changed. But the idea was to get back to the playoffs with a chance to beat good teams and be able to advance in the playoffs.
That's what David Poile said.
Yes.
Want to go for a cup, and that should be your goal.
Yeah.
Are you getting closer to that goal year over year? And Sean McIndoe of The Athletic points out a trend with the Predators. Are they following along that trend? Are they breaking that trend? We'll get into that coming up next, and what the next 11 games and next 34 games means in terms of that trend. And, of course, your phones as well. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Well, during our break, a big deal with Horvat went from Vancouver to the Islanders for a first pick and younger players. And that's a typical trading deadline deal, and it's probably one of the biggest deals that will be made. And as soon as that happens, it's like dominoes. Everybody gets on the phone, and they feel like you're going to miss something if you don't get in there. So to answer your question, yes, there's been a lot more conversations. And I'm assuming the next question will be relating to ourselves. And to me, I'm talking to lots of teams, but I just want to see how we continue to play here. And I mean, we're really on a day-to-day basis. It's as simple as what we just talked about a couple of weeks ago. We win those three games at home. I mean, puts us in a better situation. We win tonight against Vegas. I mean, I think we're starting to get more confidence. So, most of it's going to happen, at or near the deadline. We know that, but I'm sure just like the Islanders in Vancouver, they wanted to get ahead of it. And if something presented itself that was favorable or something we wanted to do, obviously I would do that. But I can tell you right now, there's nothing imminent with the Predators.
There you go. That was David Poile on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And whatever the next 11 games may tell David Poile and tell Preds management, it all depends on what they do at the trade deadline. It all depends on what the goal of this franchise is. And if the goal is to make the playoffs, then these next 11 games will give you a good idea of if that goal can be achieved or not. Is the goal to make a run in the playoffs and build for the future and be able to construct a cup-contending team? Then that's one goal. And maybe you don't need the next 11 games to tell you that. Maybe you already know that answer. And that's the same on the other side. Is it, you know, we just want to just blow things up and we want to go for Connor Bedard? Then you would probably already know that answer. The next 11 games probably wouldn't tell you that. You'd already be doing it.
If they weren't 12-5-2 in their last, what is that, 19 games, then, like he said, the fact that they won those last three, responded after the dud in St. Louis, that showed that team, when you say the players will decide, in fact, I saw an interview with Jim Nill, general manager of the Stars, an interview with Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Flames. I heard a lot of the same language. Yeah. The players are going to decide. They're going to dictate for us.
And I think that's fair.
So the goal is the same as it was at the start of the season. The plan, if you will, is to make the playoffs and be ready, be in a position where you can win in the playoffs. That has been the goal that they set out to do when they spent, and they have done it without mortgaging the future. They have, according to The Athletic, the 10th best farm system. They have held on to their first-round picks. They have five first-round picks in the minors that they didn't trade the picks. They're starting they're all at different stages of development, but they look like they're tracking well for the future. Contrast that with the Islanders, who just made that trade for Bo Horvat. That was the fourth straight year that they have traded the first-round pick. The Stars traded their first-round pick for this year at the beginning of the season. So if they were to trade a first-round pick, it would be for the next year, 2024. They don't want to do that. So I do think that when people say, we always joke, what's the plan? The plan, as I've always said, was they wanted to get younger but stay competitive. Mm-hmm. And after the bubble in 2020, you can see, you know, you can point to examples of where that has been the case. And I think one of the biggest pleasant surprise, Chase, we were just talking about this, is looking down the road, Cody Glass and Juuso Parsonen have really given them, it's very hard to find good centers. But those two guys really have looked like, with each passing week, they not only have given this team a very big boost, but also like, hey, you like what the next 3 to 5 years look like with those guys. Those guys are both still in their low 20s. I don't think they've reached their ceiling at all.
Here's a good way to look at it with this team. You have some young guys, like you said, that have come to this point quicker than anybody thought they would be, and they're playing better. Then you have some guys that are in the pipeline, which when I asked David Poile about his prospect pipeline, he said, look, it's better, but it's not where I want it to be yet.
Right.
But you got Kimmel, Evangelista. You know, we've seen Afanasyev in training camp. He's somebody that I think they hope can continue to improve. Obviously, Tomasino is not up here right now. So there are some guys that, you hope that will be – key players for you in the future that you haven't even gotten a good look at yet. So that's promising. But to your point of the goal and the plan, it's like I said with you earlier, Caroline, the goal is for everybody to go win the Stanley Cup. But the immediate goal is to make the playoffs and then see what you can do with it. I think what's the the tough part for Preds fans is the last few years, they've just been in this spot where it's like, all right, they're good enough to make the playoffs, but then they're not good enough to do anything with it.
Right.
And last year, Colorado, I knew Colorado was going to win the Cup in October. I just felt like they were that
good.
They
were so good. They still are so good.
Right. And they're coming. They are on the way. The three teams that are ahead of them right now in the Central are going, uh-oh, here they come, because they're getting healthy and they're winning games. What David Poile and the organization is going to have to ask themselves is, if we in the next 11 games are playing the way that they have been playing post-meeting, and we don't have to have any more meetings, everybody's on the same page and everybody's playing well, and it's like, okay, here's the momentum – do I want to make some moves to improve for a run and build some depth, knowing that this is a good team, a playoff team, but maybe not a cup team, but anything can happen
once you get into the playoffs. Give me an example of a move that would fit that, if that's what you wanted to do.
Like if you're – like if I'm
like a
gearing up
it?
For a run?
Yeah.
No, and I'm not – that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying go for it. I'm just saying gear up for a run with depth moves.
Okay, so depth moves.
Similar to what they – you know, they've done before. Similar to what they did in 17-18 when it was kind of the – it was – it's approaching that situation, but it was the same situation. It's like they're not winning the division. They're probably going to get in, but then they got to play Chicago. Could they hang with Chicago? But if you get through Chicago and then, you know, they obviously went on a run that nobody saw coming.
But I don't think this team is depth moves away from being able to make a run for the cup.
Well, but would you have said that?
No.
I think we would all would have said that in 17.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Was the same type of team.
Right.
Nobody was saying, well, this team could make a run.
That's and I'm not wording it right, but what I'm trying to say is they didn't know what the hell they were then and where they were going to go, just like they don't know what the hell they are right now and where they're going to go. They know that they're probably good enough to be a playoff team, but they don't know what that means. And I think that's where the fans get frustrated. It's like, I want answers. I want to know, are you good or are you bad? And it's not that black and white sometimes.
Well, I know that everybody wants to win. People don't like me talking about other examples, but there's you can't ever have certainty that you're going to win in the playoffs, right? No matter how good you are. But think about what is looming for Tampa and Toronto. Okay, Boston has had this unbelievable run so far this season. They are probably going to win that division. So that means, once again, Toronto versus Tampa Bay in the first round. Last year, that thing goes seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto, I think, led 3-2 at one point. I mean, Toronto was within an eyelash of beating Tampa. But instead, Tampa survives that series, wins a game seven, and they come within 2 games of going a three-peat, right? That's how razor's edge this thing is. And so all you can do is put yourself in position to have playoff success, have the elements. And I do think with the emergence of these young centers, the addition of McDonough and Nita Ryder as a couple extra veterans, hopefully a healthy UC Saros, I can see a team that brings more to the table than the last 2 years. The last 2 years in particular, to me, is all you can really compare it to, because before that, it was a very different team. Like, it was a veteran team. It was still the remnants of the 2017 team and the 2018 team that was even better and more powerful, right? They've been trying to turn over the roster since then. But I don't think in the last 2 years they were anything more than a big overachieving team to get to the playoffs. I think this year's team has more elements that could be successful in the playoffs. And I also think there's less juggernauts in the West than there were last year. We still have to see if
still
Colorado can
teams.
Get to the level. Well,
yeah.
But Colorado has really struggled. They've had a ton of injuries.
Yeah, but
and by if they get there, they're still the overwhelming favorite. But after that, tell me who's an unbeatable team if you face them in the first round. Dallas has been awfully good. They're probably better than they were last year. That would be very
Colorado,
tough.
Colorado, I got to see somebody beat them in a 7-game series.
Absolutely. They're
Max said that
that's
this
no
morning,
different than
I think.
The beginning of the season. They are the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
But tell me in the other teams that you matched up with, would you not have a chance? I think there's not a huge amount of separation. Dallas to me would be number two right now. Everybody else, I don't think you're a massive, but just like if the Predators had played the Flames last year in the first round, that would have been a very different situation in the first round, a different feeling going in if you had UC Saros going into that. And that was last year's team.
Right.
I think this year's team, potentially, if they can be what they've been the last 30 games or so, brings way more to the table.
But and then I look at this Preds team, if they do make it into the playoffs, let's say they make it in that wild card spot, well, then you're going to have to play a Dallas. You're going to have to play a Colorado. And your example about Toronto.
Toronto's got to play Tampa.
The fact that Toronto went to 7 games and it was an eyelash, just minuscule difference, I think that's the difference. Because it's not just getting knocked in the first round. It's making the playoffs and getting swept by Colorado. And I know
but that
Colorado
was last year. You didn't
smoked
have UC Saros.
Everybody.
You didn't have your plant. They would not have been swept if they had UC Saros. And they also wouldn't have played Colorado. The year before, they played a very, very good team in Carolina.
Yep.
That was more that was they played very competitively in that series, four straight. So, I mean, the last four games went to overtime, right?
Yep.
That was a very tight series for sure, and they were bigger. I just if they played Dallas in the first round, Dallas is awfully tough. That would be a tough matchup. That's an interesting one. If you're the wild card there, but if you're the other wild card and you play whoever wins the Pacific,
that's
winnable. I'll take my chances there.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into this coming up next because I see your Preds thoughts, your Preds phones. They are piling up. We are right into them coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and hey, be caller 4 right now, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Impractical Jokers at the Opry House on Thursday, July 27th. Good luck. It's 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, later today, tune in for Stillman & Company live from Radio Row. I heard they have a pretty cool guest coming on today. Brought to you by Social Ooh. Furniture on Charlotte Avenue.
Is it Barry Gibb?
Tom Brady?
Barry Gibb?
Even better than Tom Brady.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
She's Barry Gibb pretty awesome. Cool.
Oh, it's a she.
Okay. You guys know her pretty well. Oh. Brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. I promised your Preds phones, and right to your Preds phones we go. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you have a thought, David texts in and says, if you ask what the goal is, it's making the playoffs. That is what team sports is all about. It's all they strive for. I don't want us to end up like the great teams like Chicago and Detroit who are now satisfied to be with what we have. It could be a lot worse. And yeah, I acknowledge you could be horrible. You know, you could be just god-awful. You could be keeping your fingers crossed for the playoffs year in and year out. I acknowledge that it could be worse. But I think we also need to acknowledge that it could be better.
Yeah.
You could be going into the playoffs and saying, man, this is going to go to 7 games. It's going to be super competitive. We feel really confident about this team. And I think that we're getting to the point, and while David might be totally satisfied with the Predators making the playoffs, this team, this organization, this fan base is going to get to a point where that just might not be enough anymore.
But I think it's good perspective, though, just to keep in mind. And I know people get really frustrated sometimes when you play this card, but let's take the Red Wings. The Red Wings were the measuring stick when the Predators entered the league, right? When was the last time the Red Wings had a good team?
When the Predators beat them in the playoffs.
That's 2012. That's going way back.
Oh, man.
Now, that could be your answer. They made the playoffs in 2015-16. So they have missed the playoffs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight years. This will be the 7th. They're not making the playoffs this year, even though they're way better.
They should have been.
They are making small strides, but just understand that when you're in this boat of it's not good enough, we got to do it a different way, that's one way to do it. But it has been 7 years. Uh-huh. Now, you think it's not good to lose in the first round? So now add 3 more years where they lost in the first round and came to the conclusion we got to do some different things. So that's 10 years. That's a decade in a tremendous hockey market where they have not been relevant.
So let's play this
10
game.
10 years.
Let's play
That's
this game.
A lot
game
can
for
happen in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. I don't subscribe to a full on rebuild that a lot of people have wanted to do with the Titans or with the Predators. Now I will say let's say they lose 5 in a row, okay, and they take a major step back from what they were doing before the break, and you get to a point where it's like, all right, this is going to be close. Odds are we may not make it in.
Yeah.
Then what I do is I go, all right, let's look at the roster and some tradable assets that are going to give us something good back to help retool for next year and the years after. That, to me, that's retooling. That's not rebuilding.
Yeah.
That, to me, is smart.
Which is what they've been doing.
Right.
They've been retooling the last couple of years, but they still made the playoffs.
Sure. But
Dallas would be another one that I think would fall into that category that you're saying.
Yeah.
Dallas hasn't made the playoffs every year, but they have done a very good job. They've never had they rarely have had the high pick. Now they did have it the 1 year they got Haskinen in 2017. But if you look, they're usually pretty good. If they're not, you know, they've had some years where they had a nice run in the bubble. They got to the finals, but they've done a good job of retooling and staying. And now the future looks pretty good with a bunch of guys that were not super high picks. Some of their best young players were not high first-round picks, like Roope hints Jason Robertson in particular. Jason Robertson hit the jackpot with, right? He was not a I don't think he was even a first-round pick.
But the hard part in that strategy, and we've talked about it till we're blue in the face, is, you know, there's probably three or four guys on this roster that I would say in a normal year would fetch you a pretty good return at the deadline.
Yeah.
I would say Granlund's in that category, Niederreiter's in that category, maybe Colton Sissons because it's a very team-friendly contract. But the issue is that nobody's got cap room.
Right.
So like, I know that Elliot threw out that Ekholm's name's been out there.
Well, that would be that would be the number one guy.
Sure.
If you put him on the market, I think some people would try to say,
but you
I'll
just
move
re-signed
things
around. Him. You just re-signed him. He's got term on the contract.
Yes.
You're going to have to get creative to do that. Now, I think you're only doing that if you're going to go, not necessarily full rebuild, but like, hey, we're gonna go ahead and understand we may not be very good for a couple of years, and then we're going to come back around and do it again with Forsberg and Yossi and one more shot with those guys at it here in like 2 years. That's the only way I think they go into trade of Matthias Ekholm, because you just re-signed him, and he's a pillar of your team.
Yeah, but guys that have stars walked, let John Klingberg go, for example. And they're better than they were last year without him, because they had other guys they wanted to
return.
Sign.
They didn't
get anything for him. They let him walk.
Well, yeah, it was a free agent. That's right. But Ekholm, I think, would probably give you a pretty good return, you know, if you can make the money work. But the one and 2 year guys, I think he would have even done more with that in the last couple of years. But with the cap situation, it's just like you're not going to get the same return that maybe you would have 2 or 3 years ago, or before COVID, I should say.
Because the cap theoretically would be higher. Yeah,
right.
It'd be easier for teams to do it. Although teams seem to want to get up right up against the salary cap no matter what. Like, the GMs can't control themselves. They complain, there's no flexibility. Well, who signed these contracts?
Yeah.
Right. They did.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's the second biggest NFL offseason storyline, just behind the greatest player of all time retiring. And he's linked to the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Riley DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets to our Lower Bowl Section 102, just text the keyword SUPERBOOK, all one word. Text it into the game text line, 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and you can win with SUPERBOOK. So I know it is deja vu all over again. I know. But with Aaron Rodgers, he just always seems to pull himself back into the conversation, especially as far as the Titans are concerned. In Mike Sando's most recent pick six, he spoke with a few NFL execs, unnamed NFL execs. Two of them say Aaron Rodgers to the Titans just makes sense. And then Brandon Lang was on Stillman & Company yesterday. He reiterated the same idea.
Where do you think Aaron ends up?
Titans with Derrick Henry in the running game.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. Their defense is really good. Their defense is solid, and it's only going to get better with that offensive line and that running game. It just makes sense.
What offensive line is he referencing right now?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no, that is, there is an offensive line. It's just not very good, but it's there.
Yeah.
They have one, barely. And then Boomer Esiason was on 670 The Score in Chicago. Big 670 The Score fans over here. He said the same thing.
I don't think Green Bay's trading him to an NFC team. I just don't see that happening unless an NFC team says, you know, oh, my God, I really, you know, we're going to give you all of our draft picks to have 2 years of Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's the other thing. The acquiring team that does acquire Aaron Rodgers has got to get some sort of commitment. At least Tom Brady, when he went to Tampa Bay, you know, he immersed himself in that entire organization. And he basically became the leader in the face of the organization, played 3 years for them, got them to the playoffs for 3 years, won them a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the kind of run I would like to think that Aaron Rodgers is going to afford whoever acquires him. But you are right. If you go to the Raiders, look at that division. You got Sean Payton, like you said, in that division. You got Justin Herbert with now Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator. You got to deal with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That's not going to be an easy out for anybody. That's why, you know, to me, if he were going to go to the AFC, I was thinking, man, maybe he would go to the Titans. I think he has a house in Nashville. And the Titans, I think he, with him at quarterback, you would give Jacksonville a run for their money, you know, in that division with Houston and Indy dealing with quarterback situations and draft picks and all that other crap. You would have a chance to win there. I just don't know how deep you would go in the playoffs because the top five young quarterbacks are all on the AFC side of the ledger. But again, I just don't see Green Bay allowing him to go to an NFC team.
So that's now four people. And I've been wondering, okay, I know that the Titans and Rodgers could
make
sense.
Two do not have names. Two were the Mike
two
Sandoz
unnamed
executives.
Execs.
I don't know who those are.
And I've been looking for, okay, give me a reason beyond he has a house in Nashville, raw land to be exact, and him and Mike Vrabel like to smoke cigarettes together. That's what I've been looking for. And I look at two big reasons why it would make sense. One, Aaron Rodgers wants to go to a team with a good defense. That's what Tom Brady did when he went from the Patriots to the Bucs. The Bucs had a great defense. So you bring in a quarterback, and that makes them a solid team. Well, the Raiders don't have a good defense, so let's take the Raiders out of the conversation. The Jets have a good young defense. But do you see Aaron Rodgers thriving in New York? I see Aaron Rodgers absolutely hating New York. The mean media, I don't see
you're
that
mean.
Vibing very well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a crybaby. He will throw a hissy fit the first second that the New York media wants to rip him for his ayahuasca retreat.
They will go off. They will thrive at the excitement, at the controversy. And so he would have to deal with that. That is what you deal with in New York, for sure.
Well, especially with what he said today on Pat McAfee, what he plans to do. And then he'll have a decision.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen this?
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Rodgers says he's going
to... Wait, can I guess?
Go ahead.
Is he going to, like, go off and, like, swim with dolphins?
Would not surprise me.
No. No, it's better. It's
oh,
better.
It's better. Okay.
He is going to go on a darkness isolation retreat, and he says that will get him closer to a final decision. He says that it's 4 days, and it's him in a little house by himself in darkness and silence.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what to say about that. So
neither
he's
do I.
Locking himself in a dark room
is
alone.
Is the Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel just on repeat?
Maybe. You know?
Okay. So whatever this darkness retreat will bring Aaron Rodgers, and I don't even – where is this little house?
I don't know.
Does that mean that he's just going to stay home alone?
Is this the house in Nashville that everybody's talked about?
Is he going to be sitting on his raw land with his eyes closed, talking to nobody, hoping that the Nashville land will speak to him? That the grass that we've been hearing about in Nashville ever since Treylon Burks had Asthmagate is maybe going to be whispering sweet nothings in Aaron Rodgers' ear about the Tennessee Titans?
Can you just see this now? Aaron Rodgers, he's out in the middle of a field. His eyes are closed. He's silent. And the one person that reported that he had bought land, all of a sudden out of nowhere, is like, Aaron, Jared Stillman, why don't you buy the game? Aaron, does this mean you're coming to Nashville?
I wouldn't
that would
be surprised
disrupt
if
the silence.
On the raw land. Yeah, it is a silent dark retreat. Well, that is quite something. Okay. So
that's very on brand.
When does this retreat begin?
I don't think he specified.
So 4 days
soon.
After that, we'll get our answer. So we can suck all the marrow out of the Aaron Rodgers story as we can until those 4 days are up.
That's why I think it's going to be important to get through this week and take my isolation retreat and contemplate all things related to my future. And then he says... Or something. I was trying to find something else that he said.
And that, I think, is one reason why Aaron Rodgers to the Titans does not make sense. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers in the middle of training camp telling Mike Vrabel, hey, by the way, I'm going to go sit in a dark hut by myself for 4 days to come up with, you know, with what I want to do moving forward? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, some of the things that Boomer Esiason said. Now, so Boomer is the first guy to me that has – real credibility that's laying this out. I enjoyed hearing his case there. And what he says makes a lot of sense.
So
right?
NFL execs telling Mike Sando don't have credibility?
Who are the execs?
What did they say?
No, I don't have a problem with the execs. I'm talking about what they said.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Hey, they're not like saying it. Makes sense. And really, Boomer says the same thing.
Fun fact, John Robinson.
But look, nobody has the practical way that you do it under the salary cap. Nobody talks about what do you do with Ryan. Here's what you would do with Tannehill.
Right.
Here's what it would cost you in a trade to get Aaron Rodgers. Here's what it would mean to the Packers money-wise. Here is what your salary cap will look like. Here's the check you have to write. All of these are huge hurdles. And when people say, Yeah, I think he'd be good on the Titans. That's absolutely true. I think he'd be great on the Titans. But all these other things are the issue. Every team would love to have Aaron Rodgers if there's no salary cap and you needed a quarterback. The fact is, it's hard for Green Bay even to trade him because of the contract. And then the other team has to be able to do all these things to make it fit. That's what doesn't work.
But I will tell you.
So I still am not coming off my 1%, by the way.
You can stick to your 1%.
You say there's a 1% chance?
Yes, because anything's possible, right? You can do it, but you got to move mountains to do it.
And
he has to want to come here.
Right.
So
I'm going to say it's higher.
It's 1%.
It's higher than 1%, but I'm of the belief that it's not going to happen.
Well, that's why I'm saying 1%. Yeah. So 99%, it doesn't happen. But we're still going to talk about it, I'm sure, until he finds, until he
until
ends up
his
coming
darkness
back
retreat.
To easily
darkness,
until that.
My
yeah.
old friend.
That is going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. And Jared, talk to AJ. And AJ has a message for Nashville. And he'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.